I am not sure how you have been feeling the last 1 month and this month when you hear of all the news concerning what happened in the world as well as in Malaysia. And in most cases, if not all the cases, they arose, or these problems arose, from relationships. And it is because of this that today I would like to touch on relationships. This is a problem in the world today. A lot of misunderstandings, conflicts have arisen from relationships. Relationships that arise from the spiritual spheres when religious parties do not seem to be able to work together. We find, even in our country, religious groups in conflict with one another. We find also that, sad to say, even among the religions that profess the same one God, so to speak, or believe in the same word, so to speak, they have conflicts. And their conflicts are very, very bad indeed, so that the people, the adherents of these people, these parties, are prepared even to fight on another, to kill one another. There is also the racial problems, where we have people cannot agree because of the color of the skin. And there are people who are struggling very hard. Those who have the color of black, the skin being black, cannot agree with the one with a white skin. And so on. Brown, yellow, well, I don't think there's a green skin there, except for the Hulk. There's also a problem with men and women, male and female. And also social problems, those of higher status and those of lower status. There are conflicts. Now, the last 2-3 weeks, you have heard of what happened in the Middle East, in Europe, right at our doorstep in Indonesia, in Philippines, and all these conflicts have arisen because of some of these relationship problems. There are also the political problems that arise again from relationships. Well, we have the recent one in England just 2-3 days ago, of political parties cannot form in the government because of relationships again. And families too, we have relationship problems, so that we have mothers throwing babies out from the high condominiums down the path to the road below to kill, and all sorts of things. And people have tried to analyze why are all these problems, this friction with relationships. Well, the worst among most of all, and many things that it's very difficult to solve, will be the ideological problems that we see and we hear now spreading into our region, not only starting in the Middle East, but now coming back. We have troubles in Pakistan, we have problems in India, and now even in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, and so on. Where is this going to end? And even in Malaysia today, we find among the government groups and societies, there are these problems. All these amount to relationships. In the church itself, we also have relationships. We have problems too with the LGBT, whether we should accept them or not. And what about these? There are now this group is fighting, and they are stronger and stronger to enter into society recognition. They are fighting for their rights. And we find that this also has penetrated into churches, so that many churches today in the world, they have accommodated the fights and the appeals of these kind of groups. So, what are we to do? Now, I believe there are a lot of suggestions by various people to do all these things. But this resolution, so-called, we know, can hardly help, because they have been suggested, proposed a lot of times, but we don't see any solution. And in fact, today is getting worse. So, what is it going to be? We do not have these relationship problems not only among these circles, but also in the church. And therefore, we need to go back to what the Bible teaches, that we need to love one another. This is a new commandment given by the Lord Jesus Christ, to love one another. And we need to start with righting our relationships. So, my topic for today is vertical and horizontal relationships. Vertical relationships will refer to our relationship with God. If this is right, then our horizontal relationships will be correct. Now, there are certain relationships that we cannot change. They are there. And no matter whichever group you are, you want to fight to change. Well, the Lord has laid down these groups, these relationships, and we need to abide by them. Let's refer to the body. The body is used as an illustration of the church. The body has many parts, but what is the most important in the body is the brain. It's the brain that controls. When there is no acknowledgement by the members of the body to the existence and control and supervision and supremacy of the brain, then all the other parts of the body begin to malfunction. And the result will be there is nothing good that can come out of it. Because members of the body do not coordinate. And so we need to acknowledge the control of the brain. Every movement that we make in our hands or in our feet or with our mouth have to go to the brain, and the brain then sends the signals to the other part, the relevant part, so that they will function accordingly. Therefore, the brain is very important. The acknowledgement of the head, the brain, is vital to the function of the other parts of the body. So, that's why we need to look at the vertical relationship and then the horizontal. When the vertical relationship is correct, then the horizontal relationship will be correct. So, actually, this topic, horizontal and vertical relationship, is taken from a series I was doing in the other assemblies, where I called the series My Relationship with Them That Are Within. That is taken from the text in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 and 13, where we have in the case in the Corinthian church, that of a case of incest. And the members of the church did not take action against this member. There was no disciplinary action being taken. And as a result, we find that Paul said, you need to take action against this. Put away the evil person from among yourselves. Now, we know that, for example, a person who is diabetic, and if any part of his members is already not functioning well, it has to be amputated. And therefore, there is to be discipline. In the church, within the church, all the members, and especially the leaders, have to be responsible for anything that is wrong. Outside, there's those that are out without. It's God's responsibility. So, let God judge. We cannot do anything much. God is in control. And sometimes we do see all these things going around us, as I mentioned just now. What is God doing? These things are coming into our lives. What are we doing about them? we need to accept the fact that God is indeed in control and everything is working according to His plan. And what we are seeing happening in Europe, what we are seeing happening in the Middle East, especially in Israel, then we know that God is definitely working out His program. So we need to look into what the Lord says. All right. But first of all, my vertical relationship. We need in our vertical relationship to show respect and reverence. Now, today we live in a society where informality is the watchword. Never mind. Let us be familiar with one another. Cut off all the barriers in between. There are certain barriers that have been set up which have to be there because of respect, because of reverence. Now, in a vertical relationship, it is important how we address God. Today, we treat God as one of our friends, and we do not show much reverence anymore. Is that right? Let us see what the Bible teaches about our vertical relationship, how we should be addressing our Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said to His disciples, "You call Me Master and Lord, and you do well, for so I am." You call Me Master and Lord. You don't call Me Jesus. You don't call Me my friend. You call Me Master and Lord, for that is what you should be calling Me. But sometimes we take that standard that we come across in societal, in the community that we live in, all be familiar, you call your father by the name and so on. So we should treat God in that way. God has a level that of reverence that we must respect. So let us see how we should call or address the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was about to ascend, said to Mary Magdalene, "Do not hold on to Me, for I have not returned to the Father. Go instead to My brothers and tell them, I am returning to My Father and your Father, to My God and your God." Now this is the amazing condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going back to My Father. Now He's your Father. I'm now going back to your God, My God. He's your God. The Godliness, the God character is still there. And now there is another level of relationship, Father. We now can call Him Father. And so next week, there will be Father's Day. And somebody in the Father's Day card has written, "The greatest gift I have ever had comes from God. I call Him Dad." Now, I'm not sure how we react to this. "Oh Dad, thank you very much," as we pray. Now, my children call me Dad. Of course, I'm happy about it. They don't call me Father. They call me Dad. But actually, Dad is a familiar term. A term that shows close relationship. My feeling is, when in public, we should still address God as Father. In public prayer, we should address Him as Father and not Dad. If you think that you want to be so close to Him at home, you want to call Him Dad, that is your relationship between yourself and God the Father. Well, perhaps you may be right, because the Bible does say Abba Father. Dad is a societal term at our time, and Abba is also a term familiar to the relationship between father and children. So Abba Father. So if this is all right, why cannot we say Dad to God? Now, again, Abba Father is used only 3 times. 1, 2, 3 in the scriptures. Once was used by the Lord Jesus Christ when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He said, "Abba Father, not My will, but Thine be done." And when did He say this? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He drew Himself from his three disciples, close disciples in the circle, Peter, James, and John, went a further distance, then he prayed, Abba, Father. It was between him and his Father, not in front of all the others. Likewise, we have been given the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is given to us, it says there in Romans and Galatians, we can call him Father. And therefore, if we say that we want to be that familiar with the Lord, yes, by all means, then, if you want. But remember, whatever it is, there must be always the reverence being shown to him. So, in public, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples how to pray. When you pray, say, Our God, our Father, who are in heaven, not our dad, not our Abba, not our Abba, our Father who are in heaven, in public. And so we need to know to show respect when we address the Father. Now that is God the Father. What about God the Son? Now, how should we be addressing him? Now, again, we are so brought up, especially these days, not my days. My days, Father is Father. Now, nowadays, the fathers will tell the children, call me by my name. Address the fathers by name. Now, in our generation, of course, that would be rudeness. How can you address your parents by name? But today is different, all right? Yeah, different culture. I am not saying anything bad or good about it, but I'm saying the fact that this is so. Right, but I want to point out this. In the scriptures, the disciples never addressed Jesus as Jesus. Never. They never say Jesus directly to him. It's always Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, referring to him as Christ Jesus, perhaps. The Christ there emphasizes Lordship. The Lordship of Christ and the sovereignty is acknowledged. And so we find that the disciples never used Jesus directly. The Lord Jesus Christ himself taught it. You call me Lord and Master, you do well, for so I am. And therefore, he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say unto you? He is our friend, as I shall point out later on. But he is also our Lord and our Master, and we must give him that reverence. The disciples used law. You remember John chapter 20 and so on, and many, many verses. We have seen the law. It is the law. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The proper address and reverence should be shown to God the Father and God the Son. King David also anticipated it. In Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ asked the Jews, whom do you think I am? Or whom do you think Christ is? And they said, he is the son of David. And the Lord Jesus challenged them, if you say that he is the son of David, why did David in spirit call the son Lord? You can read that in Matthew 22. David somehow anticipated the son would be the Lord. And he says, the Lord saith unto my Lord. The Lord, the first Lord referring to God, the second Lord referring to the Son. So why then, if I am just the ordinary man that I am, why did David address me as Lord? And so we realize the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ establish a reverence for him. That while we in our society and community would like, even in our family, for our children and our friends to be familiar with us, let's remember that with God, there must be a certain degree of reverence and respect shown to him. Do we realize that only the demons call Jesus Lord? In Matthew 8:29, the two gatherings who were possessed by the demons, they they ask Jesus for permission to go into the swine. You say, Jesus, Son of God. Even then, address Son of God. And in Acts 19:15, we find that the demon that possessed a man, he cried out to the seven sons of Kevin, the false prophets. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. They address him as Jesus. So, these demons would address Jesus as Jesus. But we don't see or don't hear disciples addressing the Lord as Jesus. God the Holy Spirit. Do we address God the Holy Spirit? Do we say, oh, Holy Spirit, and so on? Why was he given? He was given, we are told, in Romans 8:26, that we may call God Abba Father. He is given in John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15, that he, the Comforter, when he is come, he will glorify me. He will not speak of himself, but he will glorify me. And so we find that the best testimony that the Holy Spirit is with us, that Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us, is when we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is only by the Spirit that we can do so. Alright, so that is with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, how we should address him. But let's look at the other side of the coin. How does he relate to us? How does he call us? Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, when the others told Jesus that his mother and his brethren were searching for him all the time in the temple, what did he say? He said, "These are my mother. These are my brothers and my sisters. Those that do the will of God are my mother, my brother, and my sister." Now, he calls them mother. He calls them brothers. He calls them sisters. That's a strange relationship, isn't it? He has the right to call them that. Now, just because he has that right to call them that, do the other people have the right to call, "Hello, brother Jesus, brothers Jesus, and son Jesus"? Let us look at a special case. James 1:1. James was a half-brother of Jesus. Alright? James 1:1, we find that when he introduced himself, he said, "I am the servant of Jesus." The apostle and servant of Jesus. He didn't say, "I'm the brother of Jesus." Again, Jude 1:1. Jude said that he was the apostle and servant of Jesus. And the brother of James. Not the brother of Jesus. It's the God's prerogative to call his half-brothers brothers. It's not for them to call him brother. They have to show respect and reverence to him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. They that are sanctified, and he that sanctifies are both the same. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He calls all those of us, all of us who are sanctified, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Have we the right, therefore, to call him brother and sister? Again, as I said, John 13:13. "You call me Lord and Master, you do well, for so I am." It's not we addressing this brother and sister. John chapter 15. "From henceforth I call you no more servants. I call you friends. Will we therefore see?" From that time onwards, the disciples calling the Lord Jesus, "Hello friend Jesus." Never. The Lord Jesus. "This is the Lord. This is the Lord. My Lord and my God." No friend. Therefore, we need to take care that the familiarity that we see in the society and community around us, and the standards are not brought in and adopted into our relationship with God. He has the right to call us brother. He has the right to call us sister. He has the right to call us mother. But we don't have the right to call him that way around. Again, Romans 1:1, Paul says that he is the apostle and the bond slave, servant of Jesus. Peter himself, in 2 Peter 1:1, says he's the servant of Jesus. And so, in spite of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I call you no more servants, I call you friends, these disciples never addressed the Lord Jesus Christ as friend per se. You call me Master and Lord, you do well, for so I am. That's what he is. We need to give him that respect and reverence when we come to his presence. When we respect the status of the Father, Son, or the Holy Spirit in a vertical relationship, then we need to accept the state in the horizontal relationship with one another. Let us remember too that there is a status that has been dedicated to each one of us, and we need to accept each one in his own state. For example, we read in the community, we have an older person and a younger person. The younger person should respect the older person. That's only right. We cannot escape that. When a person is older than you, the person is older than you. And if he's older than you, the younger person must respect the older person. The younger person cannot just treat the older person as equal. Therefore, remember, it's a good saying, it says there, respect the old when you are young. Help the weak when you are strong. Confess the fault when you are wrong. Because one day in life, you will be old, weak and strong. In the corporation, you have the employer and the employee. And you cannot escape that. Although today, they try to break the barriers between these two. But still, the employer will take the important decision if anything goes wrong, not the employee. Respect should be given. In the center, there is a leader and a follower. And we find that the follower has to follow the one in the center as the leader. In the circle of family members, you have a father, you have the son, you have the father and a mother, and you have the children, brothers and sisters. And the respect is to be shown. It is not to cast a barrier among the members of the family. But a father is a father. A mother is a mother. Then the others, brothers and sisters, they have to relate to one another well. Then that's what family is all about. In the church too, there are elders and members. All are equal in the sight of God. But there are those who have been appointed elders. And we shall find out later on what is the purpose for all this relationship. Right, so my action towards one another is important. Let's start from the very beginning. Romans chapter 16, Paul ends his epistle by greeting all the members in the church. Greet one another. And in fact, in verse 16, it was a culture at that time, greet each other with a holy kiss. All right. I'm not trying to suggest to you afterwards, you grant each other a holy kiss, and the man may be looking towards to it, I'm not sure. But don't do that. Because our culture does not allow that at the moment. You may give the holy kiss on the cheeks, as some of these people do, or you may just rub your noses if you want to, or you want to shake your hands, or you want to just touch your heart, that you are sincere to accept the person. But whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now, excuse me for saying this. If you want to shake a hand of a person to welcome him, do please stretch out your hand and warmly shake his hand or shake her hand. Don't just stretch out your hand and expect the other party to grip your hand and you just... If you do not want to welcome the person, just don't pull up your hand. It's better that way. I still remember when I was in the teacher's college and I was bidding farewell to all my student teachers. The leaders of the classes would come up to the stage to say goodbye to me. And when they came, you know what they would do? They would wear their what's called it? Not veil. A tudung. They got their tudung. And then, with one part of tudung, cover up their hands and shake hands with me like that. I mean, if you don't want to shake my hand, please don't shake my hand. No need to cover your use of tudung, cover up your hand, and then let me shake with the cloth of the tudung and not your hand. The whole idea is to do all things heartily. And if you don't want to do, just touch your heart. That's the best. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Touch your heart. But whatever you do, do it unto men. Let us welcome one another to the church. Let us learn how to greet one another. Whatever it is, every service, let us do it as unto the Lord. You know, all the actions that are specified to be carried out in our relationship with one another is always, like for example, Ephesians 5, 23, 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit yourself to the husbands as unto the Lord. Not unto the husband, it's unto the Lord. Then we have got children, obey your parents in the Lord. And things are done as unto the Lord, not unto the person above you or below you. Do it as unto the Lord. Heartily, that is what is important. Apart from all this, there is a special stance or status that the Bible has specified belonging to a certain group of people, and we must recognize it, whatever we want. For example, rebuke not an elder. Now, this is not the elder of a church, it's an older person. Do not rebuke an older person. Younger people, respect the older person. Do not rebuke him. Even if he does wrong, don't rebuke him. Tell him nicely. I still remember a very sad incident. And perhaps I am telling you this, perhaps, that you will not make the same mistake that I made. You know, in the Christian Western Road Christian Cemetery, there are a lot of graves, gravestones, plenty of them. And now the gravestones or the graves are so close together, you have hardly any space to walk in between. So one day, I wanted to cross from one area to another. So I walked, as I have been doing all the years since young, when I was involved in cemetery work and so on. I will walk on top of the gravestones from one to another and coming to the place that I wanted. Then I did so, what I did all the years. Then one sister came to was very angry with me. You do not show any respect to my mother who was buried in the grave. How do I know? Okay. You're very angry with me, and well, I accept it. I'm wrong. I did not I did not realize that I was stepping onto your mother's grave, but since you accused me of being wrong, so I said, okay, I'm very sorry. I did not do it on purpose. I'm very sorry. She refused to accept my apology. She was still very resentful. Very resentful. And, well, after that, I thought back. I went back to her. I said, look, I apologize to you, but it does seem that you will not accept my apology. Never mind. But just as you asked me to respect your mother in the grave, you should respect me alive. The Bible says that you must respect an older person. You are much younger than myself, and you scold me, you rebuke me. That is not right. You ask me to respect, to honor your mother, but you don't honor me. And so that is the situation. And up to today, she still doesn't want to see my face. Never mind. So be careful about this. Be very careful about this, because there are certain things that sometimes that we do that we do not know without any, and we don't want to do with bad intention, and it creates bad relationship. So we need to pay attention to that. So the younger one should be treated to treat the older one better, and the older one must regard the younger one. Don't treat them as rubbish, as your people cannot think. Now, I'm not sure if I'm the oldest in the assembly here or not. I'm not sure. Anyone older than myself? Yes, there's a sister there. Okay. All right. All those who have corresponded with me by email would have noticed this. When I reply to your mail or I contact you, I would just say, "Dear brother so-and-so, dear sister so-and-so," I don't even use your name, "dear brother Paul, dear brother Sunny," and so on, or "dear sister Elaine," and so on. All the years in my life, I have always been treating younger brothers and younger sisters as my own brother and sister in the Lord. And I always stress them as such. Now, it's just, all right, I'm not asking you all to do it, but it's just that I was brought up in this style, that I always treat all others who are younger than myself as my brother, as my sister, in the Lord. Okay. I want to follow this strict injunction. Respect the weaker and the widows. So, you must treat them well. Honor them. Rejoice under the persecutor. And when we are persecuted even, rejoice. It says that. It's so different from previously. You don't fight back. You don't fight back. Heap coals of fire on his head. Romans 12, 19, 21 says this. Now, what does it mean to heap coals of fire on his head? If you read the context, it says there, when an enemy is hungry, give him bread. When an enemy is thirsty, give him water. In this way, you heap coals of fire on his head. Now, something that to heap coals of fire is something bad because you put fire on his head. Now, Bible commentators cannot agree on its interpretation. But I think one is very sensible, that in those days when it was cold in winter time, the people would always carry a hot pot full of coals on their head. The idea was to keep the head warm. And I think we Chinese elderly people would also like to do this. They believe that their heads must not expose to the cold, so they would cover on. And I know for a fact, my father-in-law would go to the assembly. Oh, sorry. The computer is trying to tell me to end already. Your PC ran into a problem and needs to restart. We are just collecting some error information. So, all right, it's time to stop. And it will take a long time to restart. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, you see, the PC is also a clever entity. Stop now. Don't talk over. It has a good relationship with me. And although it tells me something that I do not like, but it's still a good relationship because it tells me to stop. And I think I better stop. In very short, if you get your horizontal and vertical relationship right with God, your horizontal would be the same. You'll be nice. So let us learn to relate to one another well. Now, I must confess, I'm not one who can relate to others well. Primarily because of my upbringing. I have stayed with my father all the years for his lifetime. I can never remember a single instance when somebody would visit my father at home. Nobody ever visited him at home. He was all alone by himself. And slowly, I think I'm getting his genes. So, well, whatever it is, I'm trying to relate outside my feeling to others. Not because of how I feel, but because of what the Lord is to me. Because the Lord asked me to relate to one another. So let us learn to relate to one another. And let us not allow friction to come in and to spoil our relationship. So with this, I end. And may the Lord make us understand that when once our vertical relationship is right, then our horizontal relationship will be right also. So let us put things right in perspective. Anyway, since I did not finish my study with you, if you are interested, you go to my website. This PowerPoint presentation will be up there, and the outline of the message will be out there. So let them speak to you accordingly. So with this, I end, and I trust that the Lord will bless all of you. Thank you.